Hey, do you prefer to find the joy in life, or do you just want some help with that? If so, you're in the right place. So come on in and join the Joy Bunny clan. This is the My Slice of Life podcast. Hello and welcome to the My Slice of Life podcast with me, Sharon, your Highland host. As the title of this podcast suggests, I am bringing you all sorts of topics from My Slice of Life, and this season's topic is Let's Get Gardening, because it's something that I'm doing loads of, and I'm sure a lot of you are as well. But this week I thought we'd have a look at how to decide what to grow in the first place, and I'm focusing on edibles mainly. That's kind of what I grow the most of. And although I'll probably be mentioning a few flowers along the way, they're not really my focus. Although having said that, it gets complicated when it comes to what's a herb and what's a flower, because a lot of them can do both, and I love that. I do like that. Marigolds and all that. Oh, they're fantastic. Anyway, just before we dive in though, I would just really like to thank all the new subscribers to the channel. I really appreciate your support, and it's just lovely to know there's so many joy bunnies out there. I love it. But I do have to ask you a couple of wee things. Have you told anyone else about the podcast yet? Have you checked out the links I put in the description? Please don't forget to do that. In case you didn't know, I've put a few free downloadable things in the shop on the Buy Me a Coffee page, so not everything there has to be bought. Although if you are able to support me that way and just buy me a wee coffee, I would really appreciate it, because all of that will be going straight back into the channel so I can keep this little machine going. Right, that's plenty of that. You'll know what to do. Let's get back to the gardening. So, how do you decide what to grow? I mean, I could just give you the stock answer, which seems to be everywhere I'm looking at. They all say, just grow what you like to eat. But there are a few more things to take into consideration. And I just want to put in one little bit of advice here, and that is start small. You can always add more later, but see if you just dive right in and you try to grow everything all at once, you can really easily start to feel overwhelmed and it can put you off. And we don't want that happening. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it so many times. You're up at the allotment. They come in, they get a big plot. They're full of enthusiasm, but they get overwhelmed and then they give up. And that's not what I want happening for you. So start small. Remember, you can always add more. Think baby steps. That's what we do. Baby steps. One of the first things to think about is your actual space. How much of it do you have? And think, do you plan to be growing directly in the ground? Will you be using pots? Now remember, you'll have to, if you are using pots, you've got to water these more. Or are you putting in raised beds? Maybe you've got enough room to do all of that. And if you have, lucky you. But your area does have a big impact on what you will grow. If you have a very small but sunny garden, for example, you'd do better with growing things like tomatoes and cucumbers, which will grow up the way, as opposed to trying to fill it with squashes, you know, like pumpkins and things, because they sprawl all over the place. They need loads of room. So you're starting to see the space that you have actually helps you decide not just what you're going to grow, but also how much of it as well. And don't forget that when you're looking at your growing area, think vertically as well as horizontally. I mean, yeah, put in your lettuces, your potatoes and so on, but think things like your beans, peas, sweet corn, things which can grow up the way. Sweet peas are actually a really great flower to include too, because they grow up and they don't take up much room. And you get loads of flowers which you can then pick, bring inside. So that's a win-win. I do like that. I like having a mix of things. And I think more people are doing that. They're mixing flowers and herbs in with their veggies too. It used to just be a flower garden, a veg garden. Those days are gone. You can mix it all in. Just a wee thought there. If you are going to be growing directly in the ground, by the way, it's good to know what type of soil you have. Now, you can get little test kits if you want to know things like how acidic or alkaline it is, which can be handy because things like blueberries, they like an acidic environment. I mean, sandy soil, that's what we've got. It's great for carrots, but it doesn't hold the nutrients very well. And it does tend to get washed out. Clay soil, it holds a lot of water. And if you're not sure if you've got that, if you take a handful and squash it together and it stays in a ball, pretty much you get clay soil. I wouldn't be growing directly into that so much. I would sow my seeds somewhere, you know, and then sort of put little plug plants in. I just find that if the soil's really damp, you run a higher risk of your seeds rotting in the soil. But do bear in mind that whatever type of soil you have, it can be improved. Just by adding compost, lots of it, but I'll be discussing more about that kind of thing in a future episode. Another thing you can do is have a look at how much light your area gets. Is it absolutely scorching all day? Or do you have a lot of shade? Because this will also help you determine what to grow. As a wee example there, when you need a lot of heat for things like courgettes or zucchini, depending on where you are, tomatoes, beans, they all like the warmth. But some things will just wilt and give up if it's too hot and dry. And I'm thinking here things like carrots, cabbage, leeks. The more kind of autumn, wintertime sort of veg, they don't like it too hot. Other things as well, like spinach, they'll just bolt if they get too hot and start making seeds, so you don't want that either. And apologies if you do start hearing lawnmowers in the background, it is that time of year. So there's nothing else, I've shut the window, there's nothing else I can do. Where was I? Yeah, I was, oh, just remembering this today, I read in a book once, it says the first job a gardener should do, go out in your garden and just lie down for a day. Just observing it. If anybody asks, you're not being lazy, you're observing. You just sit there or lie there, but have a look and really look at your garden. Look and see where gets the sun, where gets the shade, you know, things like that. That sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Just I'm going to go and do some research and observing the garden. Go and spend a day doing that. But it's also a good idea to think about how windy it can get in your space, if you get any frost pockets, that kind of thing. Now I realise all of this might start sounding like quite a lot, but do you know what? You're probably aware of all of this already without even thinking about it. I'm just trying to encourage you here to think about it now, more than you normally do. Now combined with that, have a wee think as well about your local climate. There'll be certain plants which will grow better in your area. I mean, I love bananas. There's no way I could grow them here. Absolutely no way. Now, I keep seeing other people's YouTube videos or their websites and things, and I see what they are growing and I think, oh, I could give that a go. That looks really good. And then I'll go and have a look at it, or I see how hot and dry it is where they are, and I'm thinking, and I've got to change my plans. It happens quite a lot, actually. You'd think I'd learn. It can be a little disappointing, but if that happens to you, remember there's going to be loads more things that you can grow. So if cabbages aren't going to do well in your area, I bet you're going to have a ton of other things that will do really well. And if you haven't got a clue where to start, start by asking around. Do you know any gardeners? Do you have allotments where you are? Public gardens, you know, that kind of thing. Because they'll be able to point you in the right direction about what will grow well in your area. And they can save you a lot of trial and error. Although I'm going to say, there's nothing wrong with that either, by the way. I have learned loads about what I can be growing and should be growing here by trial and error. Mainly error, if I'm honest. But don't forget your local garden centre either, because they'll be able to give you great advice and you can get little plug plants there to get you started if that's the way you want to do it. I will add, actually, if you've never grown anything before and you want to just try a few things, you know, dip your toe in the water sort of thing, go to a garden centre or somebody that you know, try a few little plug plants, you know, the baby plants, and grow them first. That might be the best and easiest way to get you started and get a taste for it. So have a go at that. This probably goes without saying, but do consider how much rain you get and take this into account. I mean, like I was saying earlier, if you're going to be growing in a lot of pots, you will need to water them more because they can only hold so much and they do dry out quicker. Different types of pots dry out more quickly as well, so that is something to bear in mind. Okay, so far you've looked at your growing space, checked the soil, the light levels, how much room you actually have, what grows well in your climate and your local area, that kind of thing. What's next? I personally would suggest having a think about how long you want your plants to be in the ground. So what I mean by that is, do you want things that grow and are done in the same year, i.e. annuals? I just want to add here, we treat all vegetables as annuals, but they really aren't. A lot of them are biennial, meaning that if we don't pick them and eat them, they'll keep growing and make their seeds the second year, which is actually something I'll be bringing up in a later episode. But what about perennials? Things that you plant once and they keep on coming back year after year. I have a few. One I picked today is rhubarb, and I'm actually putting in asparagus this year too, which I'm really looking forward to because I've never done it before. If you had a look on my blog, I did do a post about growing asparagus from seed, and I have a lovely little asparagus forest, as I like to call it. Actually, as I'm sitting here recording this, it's right behind me and it's so cute. So I'm very excited about that. And again, it's something that's expensive to buy, so I'm looking forward to that. Now don't forget your fruit bushes as well, because they keep on giving year after year and they can be a fantastic addition to your garden. I'll give you an example. I've got a red currant bush actually up in the plot and it gets pretty big and gives loads of fruit. As long as I get there before the birds, but see, to be honest, usually there's plenty, there's more than enough, I can share it. So again, check your space and consider fruit as well. Think patio fruit trees, they are a great way to get things like apples and pears. You can get cherries, what was the other ones? Plum trees, you can get the patio plum trees as well. That's what I've got in the garden. I've got two apple, one cherry, one pear and one plum, and they're all, it was a patio tree deal that they were offering, so I got them, stuck them in. They don't grow as big as, you know, quote unquote, normal sized trees. Another really good example of perennials that just keep on giving year after year are strawberries. They're fantastic. If you've got kids, get growing strawberries, because not only will they give you fruit, they'll keep giving you new plants. The only thing I'll say here is don't let your strawberries put out runners in their first year. If your plants are new, and you'll see by runners these little arms that come out, and you'll see a little plant and they spread through these arms. Don't let them do that in the first year, because if you do, you're not going to get any fruit. For any strawberry plants, take off your runners in the first year, and after that you can let them put out these little runners. So you'll get free plants, basically, that's what you're going to get. I let ours put out runners now. I mean, I tend to change ours every 3 or 4 years or so, because the plants do get tired out and they stop producing very well. So when you see them starting to slow down, get the runners and then you'll have your new plants and then you keep going. They're fantastic for that. Okay, another idea I have for you is to grow things which are expensive to buy in the shop. So see, the next time you go to your local supermarket, check out the prices. I mean, you'll probably be aware if you're there and you're buying certain things, but it gives you a good idea of what you should be growing. I'm thinking, like, for us, it's fruit. The fruit in the shops here can be so expensive. I mean, even, like, things like rhubarb, and this is another reason why I grow ours, you only get 3 stalks in a pack, and they charge you stupid prices for it. So have a look at that and think, what can I grow that's going to cost a fortune in the shop, but I can grow it myself? Another thing I've noticed in our shops, things like carrots and onions, they're more affordable, but I still like to grow them too. I can't grow them like all year round, but I grow as much as I can, because I said it in a previous episode, but the taste really is superior when you grow your own. It's just chalk and cheese. A lot of people don't believe me, but it's true. Grow your own, you'll see the taste so much different, especially things like carrots. I don't know what they do to the ones in the shop. They're horrendous. Now I'm going to come to grow what you like to eat, because there is no point growing something if you or your family can't stand it. And that sounds simple and it sounds common sense, but I've grown things before, and I'm thinking that year I grew turnip, none of us liked it. It was a fail, so I'll not be doing that again. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't be trying new things, of course, because you should, but I think, especially if you're just starting out, the majority of what you grow really should be something you know you like. But you know, if you're new to gardening, don't be experimenting too much. Try a few things that you know when that grows, at least we're going to like it. Like I say, small baby steps. And I will just add here that it is worth finding out a few basic things about how much you're likely to get from a plant if you aren't already aware of it. Because things like courgettes, you know, the zucchini and the beans, they really give you your money's worth. So you don't want to be planting 20 different types of them unless that's all you want to eat for months. Honestly, courgettes are fantastic. Bean plants, you keep picking things like peas and beans, the more you pick, the more they grow. And they just keep going and going and going right to the end of the season. And you can freeze them, you can do all sorts of things with them. They are fantastic. But what I will mention here, just one last thing, is to consider dwarf varieties of many things, especially if you're tight for space. I mean, I'm seeing more and more of these in the gardening catalogues now as well, so that can be a really good option. I've seen a lot of dwarf raspberry plants, runner beans, you can get dwarf bean plants as well. So don't forget that. Don't think, oh, I can't grow that, I don't have the space. Do a wee bit of research and see if there's a dwarf variety that might suit you. Never know, you might be able to grow more than you actually think. And that, friends, brings us to the end of this week's episode. So whether you're totally new to gardening or you just want to change things up a bit, I hope you found this useful for getting a few ideas about what you want to do next. And next week I'll be back with more ideas for this Let's Get Gardening topic. But until then, you take care of yourself.